I've got this fancy thing here in my ear. I hope it's working. Is it working? I was a little concerned this morning. I got here and our friend in the sound booth was already yawning and I hadn't started to preach yet. Wouldn't that kind of concern you a little bit? I have this water because there's a frog in my throat, been there all morning, can't get rid of it. So will you excuse me, please? I'm trying to drown him, but he's an amphibian. He just keeps doing what he needs to do. I want to tell you how much I appreciate the opportunity to come and share with you this morning. Before I get started, let me share this with you. Your church has been very generous to our association, and we appreciate that very, very much. The associations, Southern Baptist associations, are important to the life of Southern Baptist churches and to the General Convention. And as the Director of Missions for the association, I have a real appreciation for churches who give sacrificially, and I know that's your church. And I know that you're missing Pastor Steve, and he needs some time off. He's tired. And we need to treat our pastors with dignity and respect, which means we need to give them a chance to refresh spiritually and emotionally and physically, along with their families, because they work hard in our behalf. And I know Pastor Steve loves you very much, and he's 24/7 as it applies to you and the ministry of this church. So as far as I know, it's been a long time since he's had any extended time. So the fact that you're giving him this month off to take some time with his family is really important. So you'll benefit from that when he returns, I'm sure. I'm confident that that's going to happen. In terms of our association, I just want to let you know before I get started here that right now our association is in flux. We're not sure how it's going to go, where it's going to go, what's going to happen, and that's because the National Convention, Southern Baptist Convention, is in flux. And they're making some changes that affect us at a lower level. And so we need you to continue to pray for wisdom for our church leaders, for our denominational leaders, that they will do the things that are right and necessary to help churches grow. Right now, they're changing some things where directors of missions would spend more time planting churches than actually helping establish churches. And I can see the need for that because we need to grow, but I know that it affects smaller churches like you are here because you need extra help to come alongside you, and we want to do that too. So please be in prayer for all of us as we try to lead and try to do the things that are necessary to help us grow as a denomination. But more importantly, that help us grow as Christians and reaching people who are lost and going to a devil's hell without Jesus Christ. And that's the work of the church. And I'm just thrilled to death to know that you have a new mission here, a Spanish mission. It's been on my heart to see a Spanish work planted in our area because we have a lot of Hispanic folks in this area. And many of them are going to hell, and they need to know Jesus Christ. And so you're providing that opportunity. So be in prayer for them and help them every way you can. It will come back to you by your growing also as a church, and that's an important thing. Well, now I want to share something with you that the Lord laid on my heart. And, you know, I know that folks think that because it's Mother's Day, you need to preach about mothers, and Father's Day, you need to preach about fathers, and if it's the 4th of July, you need to preach about George Washington, I guess. I don't know. But here's the thing. How many of you this morning would agree that we live in a broken world? Okay? How do you see that? Let's just have a little dialogue here for a bit. How do you see that working out in our country, in our communities today? What do you see that tells you that it's a broken world? Help me out here. What do you see? I'm sorry? A lack of morality, okay? Abortions. Okay, murder, outright murder. Okay, what else? Gangs. What else? The whole issue of gay, lesbian, that agenda, okay? What else? Unemployment, okay? All right, we live in a broken world. And the solution to the broken world is not in the things that our legislators do or our president does. The thing that's going to fix our broken world has a name, and it's not a thing, he's a person, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus is going to fix this broken world. And he has called us to work alongside him to have an effect on a broken world. Now, we see all these things around us. We see families in conflict. We see churches in conflict. We see communities in conflict. All of that kind of stuff. And you know, it kind of boils down to one issue. And I almost hesitate to tell you, but I know I need to. Because I think each of us has a little bit of this issue. Okay? And that's the issue of anger. We live in a world that has no peace, and it has no peace because it's angry all the time, and it's angry for some reasons, and the solution to the anger is Jesus Christ, okay? And I am fairly confident that if I sat down with any one of you, we could talk, and within a very short time, you would be able to tell me that there are some things in your individual life that focus or that have roots in anger. And so we need to deal with that issue. And the way we're ultimately going to deal with it is with Jesus Christ. But we need to do some recognition stuff first so that we can handle the anger. Now, my father-in-law... I tell this story because I love my father-in-law. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, and so is my mother-in-law. And she was a real sweetheart. She was a very talented woman, a bit of a character. Now, they were raised in the panhandle, right alongside the panhandle of Idaho, in a little town called Tico. And in that little town called Tico, Pop was raised on a winter wheat farm. Anybody know what that is? Winter wheat farm simply means that all irrigation is done by the weather. You didn't have to irrigate it. You'd plant it, and then God would water it, and then you'd have a harvest, or not, okay? Now, Pop was a young man back when tractors were not the everyday thing, and so he plowed, and his family plowed with a mule and a hand plow. Now, they had acres and acres, so you can imagine this was a big issue back then. And there's a point to my story, so hang in here with me, will you? Don't go to sleep back there. Now, my father-in-law's dad sent him out one day to bring the mule in. The mule had been out to pasture, and he went out to get the mule. And mules have a personality. Is that not true? I mean, if you never met a mule personally, you would still know because of the reputation that mules have a personality. And basically, the personality is, if I don't want to, I ain't gonna. Right? Sound like some Christians I know. All right, so here's the situation. Pop goes out to bring the mule in, and the mule didn't want to go. And Pop did everything that he could think of to do and finally lost his temper and whacked that mule between the headlights with a piece of wood. And that mule went to the ground like it had been shot. Now, you have to understand, that mule represented their livelihood. Because without the mule, they couldn't plow. Without the mule, they couldn't do the work around the farm. And so it scared him half to death. And he began to do what you and I have done, I'm sure. He began to bargain with God. And if God would let the mule live, then he would never lose his temper again. Well, pretty soon, that mule kicked a little bit and got back on his feet and became very obedient. But... Pop kept his promise. Now, I know he kept his promise because I met my mother-in-law. You following here? And my mother-in-law had her own way of doing things. Now, she is a wonderful woman, very talented, like I said, loved her to death. But I know that she knew which buttons to push on my father-in-law. And so my father-in-law became a very accomplished athlete because he took a lot of long, long walks. Okay? God gave him grace to deal with his anger and taught him what the cost of anger could be. Is that making sense to you? Okay, so that's where I want to go with you today. I want to talk to you about this business of how do we deal with anger, because we all have to deal with it. You know, there's a story told of a fellow woke up one night in the middle of the night, and it sounded like somebody was beating on a boiler on the roof of his house. And he crawled out of bed and disrupted his sleep. He went to the window, opened it up, and he looked up above, and there was a woodpecker on his roof pecking on the antenna for the TV. And it had awakened him. So he got angry, went out in the yard, and he shooed at it, and it didn't move. So he picked up a rock, and he threw the rock at it. And you know what's happening next? He misses the woodpecker, and he hears the crash of the window in his car. Okay? And now he's angrier than he started. And so he turned around, and before he could think that he was still barefoot, kicked a rock. What do you see there? Anger always comes back and injures us rather than the object of our anger. You tracking with me? So this morning when we read the scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Now that's chapter 4. I'm not even in chapter 5 here. Let me move a little bit. That was chapter 4. But I'm on the right place. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now here's where I want to focus this morning, folks, on verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander along with every form of malice. That's where we want to look. Because that's where we're struggling today, with that place. Unresolved anger is one of the most destructive forces in the body of Christ. It's one of the most destructive forces in our families because it hides. It hides. You hear? Unresolved anger hides. And it masquerades as righteousness. You tracking with me? We get angry and we judge other people by our best intentions and their worst faults, don't we? And so that anger kind of hides in self-righteousness. And so we think it's okay. And the scripture tells us we need to get rid of that. So let's do a couple of things. First, let's look at two kinds of anger that are mentioned here. The first kind of anger that he talks about is the anger thumos, which means a hot anger let loose. That's where he talks about rage. Anybody deal with rage in your life? Have you ever had anybody with rage? Okay, today we have road rage. We got cell phone rage. We got my kids are late to school rage. We got too long in the checkout line rage. We got the guy on the highway cut me off rage. We've got my wife disappeared at the Walmart rage. We got all kinds of rage, right? And the thing about rage is it's explosive. It just goes kaboom. Proverbs 29:22 says this, an angry man stirs up dissension and a hot-tempered one commits many sins. So what kind of sins does an angry man who is enraged commit? Well, I'd say the first one is murder. You say, Pastor, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a Christian. I do not murder anybody. Jesus said, if you murder him in your heart, you might as well pull the trigger, didn't he? That's my paraphrase. When we get angry, when we have rage in our life, we kill people. Now, we may be going down the road with our hands gripping the steering wheel, or we may be standing in the checkout line with a lady with 10 kids and 200 baskets of groceries in front of us, and we may be under some real hard control, but in our mind, there's some rage going on. And rage is not acceptable rage hurts people, but the one it hurts the most is the person who has it. There was a study done, a scientific study done with some people who had serious heart problems and people who were very healthy. And then they put them in stress situations. And the people who were very healthy, because of the scientific information or instruments that they had monitoring them, they were in worse shape than the people with heart problems when they were in conditions of rage. They lost, their blood pressure went out of sight, and their veins and arteries constricted. It was an interesting thing to watch. You may have felt that in your life. Now, in my life, I've had those periods of rage, anger. And they always lead to something bad. So you need to understand that that's the guy who blows his cork. We call that guy Explosive Ernie. You ever work with Explosive Ernie? Yeah. When I worked for Colton High School District many, many years ago, there was a fellow that worked in the bus barn who was a mechanic. And every time he'd bark, you know, a mechanic is going to bark his knuckles, right? Every time he'd bark his knuckles, he threw whatever he had in his hand. And the straw that broke the camel's back was when he barked his knuckles, threw a 3-pound hammer, and missed the district superintendent by that much. But for just a little bit of space, he could have killed a man. That's rage. That's thumos. That's uncontrollable. That's the guy with the short fuse. And we always tend to do this. We always tend to blame someone else for that rage. Some of you, and I hope this is not true, but some of you may have come from a marriage that was very, very destructive, where you were married to somebody who dealt with rage and you were abused because of that rage. And the key explanation always is, if you hadn't done this, I wouldn't have done that, isn't it? You made me angry. Well, here's the first rule. Number one, folks, nobody makes you angry. There's something in here that causes your anger. And it's usually something that you've not resolved in your life. It could be relational. It could be circumstantial, but something that you haven't resolved in your life. And you need to be careful of that. Because what happens is, we use the term, right? He lost his temper. Anybody ever say that? He lost his temper. And when he lost his temper, this happened. I worked for a man one time who said, the one who loses his temper loses. Young folks, if you can get your head around that and you practice that, you'll go far in your life. If you lose your temper, you lose. Who knows what temper is? You know what tempering is? Tempering is when you heat the metal and soften it so that it is pliable and it'll bend without breaking. Does it make sense? So a spring has temper in it so that it'll give and return. That's what temper is about. So when somebody's lost their temper, they've broken. They've come apart. A lady once said to Billy Sunday, do y'all know who Billy Sunday is? Young folks don't. Billy Sunday was a great evangelist. He was a professional baseball player, found the Lord Jesus Christ, and began to preach the gospel. He's famous for a comment. He said, ignorance can be fixed, but stupid's forever. That's pretty wise. Pretty true. But he said this. A lady came up to him who had an explosive temper and was trying to explain her outburst. And this is what she said. There's nothing wrong with losing my temper. I blow up, then it's over. And that's typical of somebody with an explosive temper. Nothing wrong with losing my temper. I just blow up, and then it's over. And Billy Sunday said, so does a shotgun, but look what it leaves behind. When we respond explosively, we injure those around us. And we can't pull back. Just like you can't pull the shot back from a shotgun once you pull the trigger, once you say those words or take those actions, you can't pull them back. They're done. The second kind of anger is what we call simply anger. And this is orge. It's the angry we see in the person we call Patricia Powder. Now, I was a principal in a middle school, and I watched these kids, and the boys typically were the explosive Ernies. They'd be out playing ball, or they'd be playing football, or they'd be wrestling around like boys do, and the next thing you know, somebody'd catch an elbow in the eye, and that quick, boom, the fight was on. Y'all seen that happen? Okay. That's the explosive Ernie. Those are the boys, typically. But the Patricia Powder, those were the girls. And in Patricia Powder, there'd be some other girl that'd tick this particular girl off. And y'all know how that works out? The feud is on, how long? Forever. I watch kids in the fifth grade still hate each other when they graduated from high school. And the difference was the boys would fight about it and there'd be blood all over the place, but then they'd usually end up dealing with it and be friends. But the girls would get underneath and they would plot revenge. And that's the second kind of anger. It's what we call typical anger, anger. But that person thinks on it, lives in it, plays with it, thinks of the ways they can get even with that person. She sows the seeds of dissension. We're back up there in Proverbs 29. An angry man stirs up dissension. Just stirs it up. They're the ones who just love to get out there and just dig it up. You know? Make it a mess. Stand back and watch it happen. That's unresolved anger. It needs to be dealt with. A guy named William Walton said that to carry a grudge is like being stung to death by one bee. And that's what that anger is. The question is, in your life, as the Lord speaks to you and the Holy Spirit speaks to you, are you the Ernie Explosive or the Patricia Powder? Now, I'll tell you very, very candidly, I'm the Ernie Explosive. Yeah, I can get there. Not a pretty sight. I don't like going there. It's been a long time since I've been there. Don't want to go back there again. I don't know about you. But you have to deal with that issue of anger in your life. And we all have it. And we'll talk about that source in a little bit. The second thing you need to deal with is to find out why you're angry. Why are you angry? You know, there are times I get up in the morning and my wife will say to me, "What's the matter?" And I will respond to her. She'll tell you this is true. "I don't know. I just feel angry." Anybody ever wake up like that? Come on now. You just wake up in the morning. You don't know why. It's just you didn't sleep good. Something's on your mind. Somebody said something to you at work. Somebody said something to you at school. You're turning over the pastor's message in your mind, and you're feeling like he was pointing his finger at you. And you're going, I'm angry. I just can't put my finger on it, but I'm dealing with it. Right? Come on. Reality time. You ever deal with that stuff? Sure. We all deal with that stuff. That anger is there. So we need to find out why. Now let's take a look at James 4. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 4. Because here's where it really gets into us. Verses 1 and 2. Follow along with me. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you can't have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. So where does it start? It says what? You want something but don't get it. They come from your desires, the battle inside. This is what I want. There's a church in the South. This is a true story. The church in the South that got in a fight over what color the roof would be. So they finally compromised. And half the roof was one color and half the roof was another color. And the people that voted for one color sat on that side, and the people that voted for the other color sat on that side. Come on. Does that make sense to you? That's how irrational anger is. See, anger is what we call temporary insanity. You're not thinking straight. You're not thinking about what the problem is. First thing here is that selfish desires lead to frustration. I'm not getting what I want. In your home, it could be you didn't get the dishwasher you wanted, or you didn't get the TV program, or your husband's got the remote and it's your turn, or, you know, you name it. It could be that you felt like it was time to retire and you're not getting to retire. It could be that you wanted the Chevy and she wanted the Cadillac and she got what she wanted and now you're paying for it. You know, could be. What creates the anger? The anger is created because there's something inside that says, this is what I want. And you don't get it. Okay? That's where it begins, inside. Look at Proverbs 14. Verse 29, a patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. A patient man. I'm not getting what I want. It's not time for me to have what I want. Therefore, I need to be patient. Impatience causes issues. When I was a young man, I used to work on my own car a lot. Any guys like that here, y'all work on your own cars? You ever have a bolt stuck in a manifold? Anybody ever been there? Rusted in, boy, it is not going to move. Well, there's a way to get it out. Impatience isn't the way. And what happens with impatience is you try to get it out by force and it always breaks off in the engine. And so a short-time job becomes a long-term job and expensive because then they have to take the engine out, drill a hole into the bolt, get mess, impatience. What are things in your life you've been impatient about? How many young folks get married because they're impatient to find the right person and so they just grab what comes along and then they're going, I wish I'd never done that. You may have seen it in your own life. Maybe you. Impatience. Anger. Now you deal with that stuff on a regular basis. Because of frustration, you get ahead of God. You know, impatience was Abraham and Sarah. You remember Abraham and Sarah? God says to Abraham, you're going to have children. Your children are going to be more than the sands of the sea. You're going to have children more than the stars in the sky. You're going to have children. Abraham's in his 80s and said, what happened with this? Where are my kids? Sarah says, well, you know, Abe, I know how it is with you guys. You need kids. Take my handmaid. Raise up children with her. And we're still paying the price for that impatience today, aren't we? Impatience. Impatience. You know, where are some other places of impatience? David numbered Israel. Gotta know. Nope. The ark was stored out of the way because Israel had lost it. David decides it's time to bring it back, so he gets an ox cart, and he brings it back on an ox cart. God said, don't do that. He didn't want to wait to do it the way God said, and Uzzah died. Impatience. Impatience gets us into difficulty. When we were looking for a pastor, somebody came to me and said, how long do you think it's going to take us to get a pastor? I said, about 3 years. They said, what? 3 years? We can't wait 3 years for a pastor. We spent a year filling the pulpit. We spent a year with an intentional interim. And then at almost the end of that time, our pastor came. And he's a dynamite guy. And we had people calling the search team. What's going on? Why don't we have a pastor? What are you guys doing? You been there? You had that problem? Patience. Patience. We have churches in our convention that have gone defunct because people got ahead of the Lord instead of waiting for the pastor. They got somebody that because they needed somebody, and I've seen church after church, it's been stolen from the church. The property's gone because it got ahead of God. Impatience. Impatience, frustration, anger. We're going to make it happen. It's going to be okay. Selfish desires. We need to cultivate patience in Jesus Christ. We need to trust God to bring it to us at the right time. Impatience with others can be destructive. Second thing that results in anger is hurt. Hurt. You get hurt. Usually you're hurt by somebody that you love or care about, but they hurt you. We get physically hurt, we get emotionally hurt, we get spiritually hurt. Physical hurt we recognize pretty easy. We're sleeping one night and your wife rolls over in bed and her elbow gets you between the headlights and you got a knot on your forehead. You unmarried folks wouldn't realize anything about that, but those of us been married long enough know that's true. You get hurt physically. Somebody injures you, sometimes unintentionally, but the anger comes up. Why did you do this to me? Why'd you hurt me? And then you want to get it back, right? Anybody here ever deal with that? Somebody hurt you, you want to get it back. You want to hurt them back. If they hurt you physically, you want to not only get even, you want to get ahead, right? That's an eye for an eye mentality. In fact, it's two eyes for an eye mentality. And that's Satan working in our lives, using our hurt against us. We want to respond in kind. We want to get back that same kind of injury. And Jesus gave us good advice, though, you know, and it kind of flies in the face of that. Jesus said, if somebody strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other one also. You find that in Matthew 5. Jesus, why do you think Jesus said that? Because he understood somebody getting hurt. Right? He knew if you got hurt, you'd want to respond. And he says, if they hit you with one, turn the other cheek. That's contrary to our normal way of doing things. Emotional anger comes from the loss of someone or someone hurting our feelings. Emotional hurt. Somebody we trusted betrays us. Somebody we loved betrays us. Emotionally hurt. A parent mistreats us. A child mistreats us as a parent. Those are emotional hurts. Your kids don't show up for Christmas. That's an emotional hurt. Somebody you thought was your best friend walked away. Emotional hurt. Those emotional hurts stay with us a long time. I would be willing to bet, if I were a betting man, that some of you today are still dealing with some emotional hurts from years ago. Years ago. My mother died when I was 12 years old. It took a long time for me to deal with the fact that she did not abandon me. Emotional hurt. Some of you may struggle with that. When you have emotional hurts or you feel violated, it's hard to deal with. We get angry. But the root of all of this is spiritual anger. Physical, emotional hurts, we almost always tie to spiritual anger. hurt. God, you hear it coming? Why did you let this happen? God, if you really are in charge, how come that happened? If you really love me, why did you save my friend, my son, my cousin, my uncle, my sister, my wife? God, if you're really powerful, why did they get cancer? God, if they're really powerful, why did we lose our home? God, if you're really powerful, how come we lost our jobs? God, if you get the picture? All of those other emotional hurts come down to, God, if you're really supreme, if you're really sovereign, then why didn't you do something? And so we get angry with God. Spiritual anger. We don't like the fact that a sovereign God would let these things happen to us. But he does. And when you understand that, then you can come to what the real cure is. First thing, you need to be sure you're in right relationship with Jesus Christ. You got to be in right relationship with Jesus Christ. Bible tells us that it rains on the just and the unjust. Doesn't mean that God doesn't care, but the Bible also tells us that all things work together for good to those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. That means those things that come into our life that create anger in us, we need to fall back and say, God, I don't understand why you're allowing this to happen, but I've got confidence in you as a wise and perfect God that you're going to deal with this in your way for my good and your glory. But in order to do that, you've got to have a right relationship with God. Does that make sense? If your relationship with God is not right, then you can blame God all you want and you're not going to get any resolution. And I can tell you, I've been down that road. My first wife committed suicide, left me, committed suicide. Man, I was mad at God. Church I was pastoring, whew, man. I was mad at God. Took 12 years to get rid of that anger. And I wasted 12 years. And it was a little lady in a church, put her arms around me and said, you need to remember, God loves you. And everything that has occurred in my life has occurred so that somewhere in my life I've been able to come alongside somebody else who's having the same issues. God takes us through those things so that we grow stronger, that we grow more are close to him so that we can do the work he's called us to do, which is showing a loving, holy, redemptive Savior to people who are lost and going to hell in anger. Before we can help the world, we need to let God cleanse us of what's in there. Does that make sense what I'm saying to you? You tracking with that? Okay. Uncontrolled anger has its roots in our flesh, not the spirit. Listen to this, Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. Anger is what our nature desires. Somebody hurts me, I hurt them back. Somebody hurts me emotionally, I hurt them emotionally. Somebody hurts me physically, I hurt them physically. I get mine back. That's the way the flesh thinks. Paul is saying here, and he had reason to talk about it, if you live according to sinful nature, you're going to have your mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Jesus came to bring salvation. He came to change our hearts, to change us from a rage person to a joyful person. That's what Jesus came to do. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Look, you know, anger, bitterness, all that stuff is the pill we take hoping somebody else is going to die. Does that make sense? We are angry and bitter, hoping somebody else is going to pay the price. And they don't even, 99.9% of the time, they don't even know we're upset with them. So we're paying the price of our anger. But with the Spirit, a mind and life controlled by the Spirit, look what it says, is a life and peace. Man, I'm up for that. How about you? An extra 5 minutes in the checkout line? Okay. You know, I'm 10 cars back and I'm in a hurry. Well, okay. Why? Because if you live your life in Christ, everything in your life takes place in God's time. The other day, we got all jammed up. I had a horrible afternoon. Anybody here? How many of you here love computers? Well, with me, it's a love-hate relationship. And my computer was doing things it shouldn't have been doing, and I couldn't get any tech support, and I was upset. And my lovely bride walks in and said, "You've had a nice day." I said, "Yeah." She said, "I'm going to take you to dinner." I'm up for dinner. We go to this little place, a place called Lean Cube Buffet. We get our dinner. We sit down. I reach for my smartphone because it's vibrating, and I think somebody's calling, and I pull it out, and I look at it, and I realize I have a church meeting in 5 minutes that I had totally spaced out. I had just taken one bite of my dinner. What are we going to do? Well, you go pay the bill, and while you're paying the bill and settling up and throwing our food in a takeout carton, I'm going to have to drive 5 miles back home and get my computer, which I need for the meeting, and then I'm going to have to drive back here and pick you up and then drive to the meeting, which is 4 miles the other direction, and the meeting that started at 6:30 didn't start till 7 o'clock. And I'm anxious. And the people in the meeting looked at me and just laughed. No big deal. We did our thing, got the meeting done. It went over a half an hour because I was a half hour late. But I learned about what it's like to be angry over an uncontrollable circumstance. God still had a plan. God still accomplished his purpose. It was okay. Who am I going to get mad at? Me? I don't know. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on that nature's desires, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Life and peace. It's impossible to live in the Spirit apart from a solid relationship with Jesus Christ. It's He who has the cure for your anger. So here's how you control your anger. First, make sure the relationship is right. Does that make sense? First, make sure the relationship is right. Lord, if you're an angry person, just let God say it. Just tell him, Lord, take my anger. I need you to take my anger. I need you to control me. Is that making sense? It starts with having a right relationship. And if you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the first step because he changes the heart. Okay? You need a new heart. You need to get rid of the angry heart, let him tear it out, put a new heart of peace in you. And he will do that. The second thing is, you need to think about how you're going to control your tongue. Look at Proverbs 12, verse 18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. It's the difference between a sword and a scalpel. Your tongue can either be a scalpel bringing healing, or it can be a sword which destroys. And the choice is yours. Scripture tells us it's a sword or it brings healing. Second thing is, consider the consequences of your anger. Not just what's going to happen now, but what's going to happen long term. Proverbs 29, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Consider what would happen. Proverbs 23, verse 9. Do not speak to a fool, for he will scorn the wisdom of your words. My grandmother used to say, don't argue with a pig. You just get dirty and he doesn't understand your language. Consider the consequences of your actions. Does that make sense? Control. Look to the future. Consider the consequences. And then control your response. Anger is temporary insanity. Two words. Number one, temporary. Number two, insanity. When you're angry, you're irrational, and people cannot argue or talk to an irrational person. That's why the scripture says you're a fool. It's irrational. So you need to go to a separate corner, take a deep breath, talk to the Lord about it, then come back and deal with the issue. Focus on the issue, not the person. Okay? Control your response. James 1:19 says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be, you all know this one, quick to listen. 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 You used to tell kids in school, God gave you two ears and one mouth. He expects you to listen twice as much as you talk. Listen. Okay? Slow to speak and slow to become angry. Have a long fuse. Somebody in Reader's Digest said this. He went and studied the Amish people, and this was borne out here recently. Went to study the Amish people in preparation for an article on them. In his observation at the schoolyard, he noticed the children never screamed or yelled, and this amazed him. He spoke to the headmaster. He remarked, I had not heard one Amish child yell or become angry or scream. He said, why do you think it's so? The headmaster responded, have you ever heard an Amish parent yell? They controlled their anger. Doesn't mean that they didn't have anger. Doesn't mean they didn't deal with it. It means it was under control. I've learned in my life I cannot control that anger apart from Jesus Christ. I think you're probably the same. We all have anger issues. Sometimes it's historical baggage we've carried for years, stuff we've dealt with for years, we're still dealing with today. A pastor hurt us, a parent hurt us, a friend hurt us, the list goes on. The cure for the anger is Jesus Christ first. Jesus first will take the anger, give you a new heart. Amen? This morning, if you are dealing with that or have not dealt with it or have had it in your past and have not dealt with it, I urge you this morning to deal with it. Give it to the Lord. Let Him deal with your anger. If you're a believer, then you have resources in His Word and in His Spirit to deal with your anger issues. The other part of that is if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, then today you need to deal with it. You need to give Him the opportunity to heal your heart, give you a new heart of peace. Amen? We're going to take a moment, just a brief moment, for commitment time. That means you have an opportunity to confess to the Lord if you have anger issues. We don't like to talk about anger. It's uncomfortable. But it's real. And you need to grant forgiveness. Forgiveness means this. I'm not going to hold it against you anymore. I'm not going to let it be an issue between us anymore. I'm not going to dwell on it anymore. I'm going to lay that anger aside so that God can heal us. Amen? Do you want to come and lead us? Let's pray. Father, I just lift you up this morning. You are a holy God who changes our hearts, who changes our attitudes, who lifts us up and gives us strength. When we get caught up in our own flesh, Lord, and our own desires and our own stuff, Lord, you bring us peace. Lord, today I pray that if there is one person here who has unresolved issues, that you help them to resolve them today, that they may know you and rejoice in you and live that peace that passes understanding. In Christ's name, amen.